The other incubus stood on the threshold, almost bouncing with nerves, yet his eyes were bright with curiosity as he looked at the simple furniture and the framed sketches on the walls.
"What do you want, Teaser?"
Sebastian asked. If Teaser noticed the harsh note in Sebastian's voice, he ignored it and bounded into the main room. Then he stopped, spun around, and closed the outer door before moving toward Sebastian with a cocky swagger that was at odds with his boyish good looks. Women were often deceived into believing he acted the way he looked. With Teaser, sometimes that was a serious mistake. As youths, they had trolled the den streets together, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Teaser projecting an image of a boy out for a bit of naughty fun, while Sebastian was the handsome piece of danger with his sable hair and sharp green eyes. They'd played their games of seduction, providing physical sex to women who crossed over to the den from the daylight landscapes, or using the power of the incubi to connect with another mind through the twilight of waking dreams, feeding on the emotions they created by being fantasy lovers. Unhappy wives, foolish girls who wanted the romance of a mysterious admirer, lonely women who craved the warmth of a lover, even if that lover came to them only in dreams. They were all prey to the incubi. For 5 years, he and Teaser had rented adjoining rooms at an expensive bordello and trolled the den. Then, when he turned 20, Sebastian could no longer ignore a growing need for something beyond the den and the sexual games. So he walked away from the colored lights and the dark buildings. He found a dirt lane that began a few steps away from where the den's main street ended, a lane he was certain hadn't been there before. He followed it, not sure if he was just taking a walk or really leaving the one place he'd felt at home. That was how he found the two-story cottage. It didn't look like it belonged in a landscape like the den, but it wouldn't have been there if it hadn't belonged. That was the way things worked in ephemera. He went inside, wary of being caught by whoever laid claim to the place, but it wasn't inhabited. Half the rooms were empty, but there was enough furniture left haphazardly in the other rooms to set up a comfortable bedroom, living area, and kitchen. He found linens and towels, as well as everything he needed in the kitchen to prepare and eat a simple meal. He prowled the rooms for an hour and realized something inside him had relaxed, as if he'd taken his first full breath in months. Finding cleaning supplies in a cupboard in the kitchen, he dusted, polished, swept, and scrubbed until the cottage was clean and the furniture arranged to his liking. Then he went back to the den, removed most of his possessions from the room he rented in the bordello, and moved into the cottage. A week later, when he returned from trolling the den streets, he discovered someone had planted a moonflower beside the cottage's back door. That was when he realized this place had been waiting for him to find it, to want it. She would have known the moment something in him had changed enough to match the cottage, and the moonflower was her way of saying, welcome. In ephemera, there were few secrets of the heart, and nothing could be hidden from Gloriana Belladonna. He had lived in the cottage for the past 10 years, still a part of the den, and yet apart from it. "Didn't see you around yesterday," Teaser said, pulling Sebastian back to the present. "Just thought I'd stop by and see." He'd spent yesterday sketching, and had burned all the sketches when he realized he'd been trying to capture daylight memories of Aurora, his Aunt Nadia's home village. Things he'd seen as a child during the times he lived with her. Then his father, Koltak, would show up again and take him away, dumping him on some woman in the poor section of the city where Koltak lived, a woman who was paid to tolerate his presence and provide him with food and a place to sleep. Half the time he lived on the streets, running wild with other abandoned children and remembering all over again how barren and miserable his life was supposed to be. Then Nadia would arrive and take him back to her home. Nadia's and Koltak's battle of wills, and the cycle of loving acceptance and cold-hearted misery, finally ended when he'd gotten away from his father the last time Koltak arrived